Zach Ives, and I'm delighted to be able to present work done jointly with Andreas Haberlin, who's in the back row here, as well as our master student Tao Feng and Wolfgang Gatterbauer at CMU. We've been really interested in looking at the problem of taking the structure of provenance and to try to figure out from that how much to value certain items and also potentially recommend items to users. Okay, so the setting that we're interested in is really the simple one that you've got many, many scenarios today where you've got so much data that it's overwhelming to the user, right? So there's data warehouses, there's projects like, or project repositories like SourceForge, there's giant file systems like some of the ones we saw earlier. And the question is, out of all of this, how do you figure out what to actually highlight for the user? And that can be in a wide variety of different settings. It can be as simple as, you know, sort of browsing and visualization. If I have 10,000 or 100,000 files, which ones do I highlight on the screen? It might be debugging. I have some computational product. I want to know, you know, what is the most suspicious input that went into it if I know that it's broken. It can be query answering. I want to rank a bunch of results based in part by context and authoritativeness. It might be recommendation. One of the things that might be particularly useful is to take all of this and realize that the user is touching one particular, let's say, data resource, and there might be a slew of other ones that are very commonly used with this particular one. So maybe we can recommend. Or perhaps the most interesting thing is, as people start to contribute tools or data or whatever, can we somehow track, measure, and ultimately reward those who contribute useful resources? Okay, so that's kind of the focus of our project. Naturally, given that this is a workshop on provenance, our belief is that provenance is the basis of an answer. Now, the connections between provenance and ranking have been considered quite a lot in this community and a variety of others. And in fact, David's talk about fitness widgets highlights one of the very common approaches that a lot of people have thought about, which is, you know, if I have a derived data result and I know something about the inputs and the processes that produced it, for instance, a score on each of these, I might be able to somehow infer some score about the suitability of the data product. But there's another question, which is, if we don't actually know ahead of time the authoritativeness scores of all of this, can we look at the patterns of data usage, let's say, across the community and realize that, you know, lots of influential people are creating useful data products by using this particular data source? Or many, many people are using this particular tool. Okay, so what we'd really like to do is look at the provenance graph as really a bird's eye view of the patterns of data usage, and then do essentially link analysis over it, much like the way people do link analysis over social networks or over the web, to try to figure out which data resources or which pieces of code are the most high impact in some particular way. And we can consider high impact to be authoritativeness, it could be utility, it could be relevance to a particular user, and so on. Okay. Now, of course, one challenge is it's not at all obvious that one can just take our favorite ranking algorithm for the web and just throw it into the provenance graph scenario and make it work. Okay. Just to sort of make sure I'm not overpromising here, at this point, I'm not going to tell you what the right algorithm is, but rather, in our preliminary work, we've been looking at what are the general principles, the general abstractions, the general operations that people have put together in order to do various kinds of link analysis algorithms. Can we come up with some general framework where we can combine these different things? And can we incorporate them into a programming model? And in our case, it's going to be a query language for expressing the particular kinds of link analysis computations that people often do. And then our ultimate goal, which is still at the very early stages, is then we have kind of the toolkit to experiment with different combinations, actually conduct user studies, actually see what really matters. Okay? So in this brief talk, what I'm going to try to do is give a very high-level sort of five-minute summary of techniques for link analysis and some of the basic variations there. Then I'll briefly talk about how it is that we tend to manipulate provenance graphs, and then show you basically a teaser to how we can put those two together and look at actually specifying link analysis type computations over provenance graphs. And then I'll talk a bit about some of the interesting questions that we're really eager to try to address related to all of this. Okay, so I think most of you have probably seen the PageRank algorithm at some point in time. It's one of many algorithms proposed for link analysis, and in fact, really, the link analysis literature goes back to, you know, measuring the impact of papers in scientific literature based on citations, but it's also been used in the web and social networks and things like recommendations for YouTube videos and so on. Okay, so the core idea for all of these algorithms is that you have some abstraction of the network into a directed graph, and we have some node which is being visited at any point in time by a so-called random surfer. So the random surfer maybe starts at this node P. Hopefully you can see the cursor here because I can't behind the speaker. And basically, over time, this random surfer either follows an outgoing edge or jumps to another random node. Okay, and so we're going to say with some probability, let's say D, we're going to follow at one of the edges, maybe flip a coin to choose between them. And with some probability 1 minus D, we're going to randomly jump to some other point in the graph. Okay, this is the basic formulation behind almost all of the link analysis algorithms. It's simple random walk, as I just described. Okay, the classic example for all of this, the one that we see in general in a lot of courses these days, is PageRank, which has a very simple formulation. Basically, in the PageRank model, if we're thinking about computing the page rank of some page P, that's based on the number of incoming edges to P and the page rank of those nodes that are pointing at P. Okay. So basically, if I look at page P, suppose it's pointed to by page B, we take the page rank of page B, divide it uniformly along each of its outgoing edges, and transfer that amount of weight to P. Okay. So P accumulates the weight transferred on the incoming edges and spreads it out on its outgoing edges. Okay, it's a very simple algorithm. The summation is as follows here. And the assumption is everything is done uniformly. Okay. Now, what I've shown so far is the basic model where there's no random jump to some other node. Okay. In reality, for a variety of reasons, you actually have to slightly adjust PageRank to allow for the possibility that the random surfer doesn't just follow a link, but actually can jump to some other point in the web graph. Okay. Without that, in fact, it turns out there are all sorts of potential pitfalls because you can have web pages that don't point anywhere or that point to themselves and end up either sort of breaking the computation or accumulating too much of the weight. Okay. So this is kind of a standard PageRank formulation. This coefficient D is usually called the decay factor. And it allows us to bias between whether we're going to follow a link or we're going to randomly jump. Okay. Now, the basic PageRank algorithm is, at least so far as I know, still used in this formulation within Google. But in general, we tend to think about it sort of in a higher level rather than just the summations. Usually, we will try to capture, say, some web graph with edges in the form of what's usually called a weight transfer matrix. So basically, if we have m nodes, we will have an m by m matrix. And in each cell here, we're going to put the percentage of weight transferred from, let's say, node y to node g, sort of all the way down the line here. Okay. So each of these columns will add up to 1.0. And basically, it describes in each step how much weight is transferred from one particular node to its downstream neighbors. Okay, so we can look at the actual page rank computation then as we initialize the page rank of every node to be 1 over the number of nodes. And then in each step, we basically multiply the existing page rank by this matrix and then also take into account the decay factor. Okay, so that's the basic algorithm. If we actually see it in action, here's an example where we say that we make the decay factor 0.8, so we get 0.8 times this matrix, or times the current values of the weights plus 0.2 times this unit vector. Okay, and the nice thing about PageRank is it tends to converge very, very quickly. So this is an example of the computations. And in fact, it turns out, I believe, for this example, it converged in 4 steps. Okay, over something larger like the web, I think the sort of usual claim that I've heard is it's around between 15 and 20 iterations sort of at web scale. Okay, so in general, this converges quite quickly. And then it ends up with a score that essentially is used to kind of measure the impact factor of each node based on the links. Okay, now, the basic PageRank algorithm makes a lot of sense when you assume that every node in the graph has equal probability of people wanting to jump to it, and also that if you're on one website, you have equal probability of going to any of the downstream neighbors. In many situations, and especially I would imagine in many provenance situations, there may be different kinds of edges. You may have a preference for some of them. There may also be some information about which nodes are more desirable or more commonly used than others. So you may also have a preference for which nodes you will jump to. Okay. And in fact, variations to the PageRank algorithm have been proposed for each of those cases. So for instance, the object rank algorithm allows us to bias our probability of following one edge versus another based on the edge type. Okay, and then there was also a so-called intelligent surfer model where when you randomly jump, instead of randomly jumping uniformly across the graph, you might have a bias toward some nodes over others. Right? So for instance, on the web, you know, Yahoo or Google probably is more likely to get a random jump than, say, my homepage. Okay, so all of these are fairly minor modifications when you look at sort of how you would implement them. Basically, they involve taking these two matrices and sort of changing the distribution of values among them. Okay, so this is good because it gives us some idea that we can actually capture a lot of the common methods with very small variations on the basic algorithmic process. Okay, now one can go even beyond that. There's this interesting question, if I have a particular data source I'm looking at, are there other similar data sources that are used similarly by other people? So I might want to have an algorithm that goes out and looks at the structure of the provenance and how people use the individual data sources and makes recommendations or clusters together items based on similar patterns. Okay, in the web context and the social networking context, this is often done using sort of variations on this random walk algorithm where instead of computing a single page rank score across everything, you can say, I want a score, assuming I started at some node X, I want a score for each node versus if I started at node Y. Okay, so there are a lot of sort of related approaches with names like personalized page rank and topic specific page rank that roughly correspond to the same idea. Okay. The kind of most general version of this is called label propagation, and the algorithm that's probably best described in the literature is the one called adsorption. This was actually, at least for a while, used to make video recommendations in YouTube. And the basic idea was YouTube collects over time a graph of which users view which videos. So you can think of that part as a bipartite graph. But you want to combine that with extra information that viewers who view video 3 often also view video 4 and video 5 and so on. Okay, so there's really two kinds of edges here, those between users and videos and those between videos and videos. We want to put all this together and basically say for some particular user A, what is the likelihood that they would like to see, you know, let's say video 6 or whatever. Okay, so this basic algorithm actually looks very much like sort of a generalization of PageRank. You start by creating what's called a label for each of the different, in this case, users, but topics would also work just as well. You assign a start node for each of those. You initialize the weight to 1.0. And then basically, in each step, you propagate that score and divide it across the outgoing edges and propagate downstream. Okay. So in this case, we have 3 outgoing edges, so we put 0.3 to each of the videos, and B, We have two outgoing edges, so we put 0.5, and so on. One of the big variations from the other link analysis algorithms is adsorption at this stage does a normalization step where they rescale all the values to add up to 1.0, okay? And then basically it keeps processing until you get to a point of convergence, okay? The thing I'm trying to get across here is, again, it's a very similar set of operations. There's this propagation step. The differences are we're doing this over multiple labels, and we have a normalization step. Okay, so stepping back, we've seen a variety of different algorithms that might be useful for ranking and recommendation. What we would like to do then is kind of abstract away from all of that and have one general framework where we might be able to specify all of these algorithms and possibly variations thereof for running across provenance graphs. And our ultimate goal is really, you know, can we come up with different forms of ranking for nodes and different measures of affinity between nodes and other nodes, okay? So the kind of second part of our work is really looking at how is it that we can come up with one framework that makes it easy to implement, ideally computed in some distributed way, and then compare the different algorithms. Okay. Now, since we said distributed, of course, one option is, you know, we can just tell everybody, okay, take all these algorithms, let's code them in MapReduce and run it all the way. Okay, that's fine, but it's a very low-level way of trying to implement all of these things. So our goal was, we have this graph of provenance. Perhaps we can take languages which are used for extracting pieces of provenance and traversing a provenance graph and sort of extend them basically so that you can create views over the provenance graph where you kind of overlay annotations describing the rank computation. Okay? So the particular language that we took was one primarily developed by my former student Greg Carbonarakis called ProQL. ProQL is a provenance query language that essentially borrows a lot of its ideas from other database query languages for graphs and trees. So we kind of took the syntax of XQuery, which is sort of, there's a for clause that matches patterns, there's a where clause that allows you to filter combinations, and then there's a return clause which allows you to create content. And we looked at what we needed to change in that language in order to match the data model for provenance. Now, the key difference, at least in our model for capturing provenance, is provenance is not sort of just an arbitrary graph. It's actually a kind of a hypergraph. We have a series of nodes representing, let's say, tuples as inputs. There is a computation which might take multiple input tuples and produce multiple output tuples. So you can sort of think of these round nodes as being data values and individual nodes. And then the connection between them is really kind of a directed hyperedge. Multiple input tuples derive multiple output tuples. Okay, so in order to actually support that, we had to change the syntax for doing paths. So that's our particular syntax for doing that. Basically, the square brackets represent individual nodes. The dollar signs represent variables we want to bind to those nodes. And then this purple, the less than sign really represents part of an arrow for a connection. And so on. So that for clause really represents a connection between one tuple and two others. Okay. So ProQL can bind variables to portions of paths. It can do restrictions on that. And then probably the main interesting point is you can extract pieces of the provenance graph using this include path construct, which basically takes all of the nodes and edges that were bound and directly outputs them in a new subgraph. Okay. So why is this useful? Well, basically, among other things, what it does is it allows you to take a giant provenance graph and just extract the pieces that you think are relevant to your particular study. Okay? So our focus then was, can we take this basic construct and come up with a way of taking that subgraph and now running PageRank on it or doing other sorts of things where we can specify a computation over it? Okay. So basically, we need a general means of annotating a graph, so you can sort of think of this as a view over the graph. We need a way of doing initialization of the annotations and then recursive propagation the way that PageRank does this. And ideally, in each iteration, we're going to express the computation in a way that looks a lot like the matrix operations that I just showed. Okay, so just to give you sort of a teaser for how this ultimately looks, this is a small excerpt of code for doing the so-called robust PageRank algorithm. Basically, we allow the user to define essentially a matrix describing this bias table. So for each node, what is the probability that I will randomly jump to it? And likewise, the transfer matrix, given this particular node, how much weight do I transfer to the downstream other nodes? And then there's a set of constructs to initialize the annotations on each node and repeatedly propagate the weight from the current annotations to the downstream nodes and so on. Okay? And we can actually control, for instance, how many iterations or test for convergence or what have you. Okay? I'm sorry? We're assuming the very specific hypergraph model that I showed. Yes.
So are you representing an edge with
In this case, I'm actually just talking about this particular example really was just a regular graph, so it's a special case of that. But one could definitely think about different ways of transferring to, you know, from multiple input nodes across the hyperedge to multiple output nodes. Right. So part of our goal here is the reason we allowed for these tables is it's a very general way of allowing you to say, you know, given the following inputs, how much do you transfer to the following outputs? Okay? So that's the basic construct that we're building over. Okay? Now, one of the nice things about doing it at this high level is that you can think about doing distributed computation with it. And this should be unsurprising to anyone. After all, even the basic PageRank was, you know, actually one of the things that Google implemented using MapReduce. So it, you know, should surprise no one that these are heavily parallelizable. Basically, the approach is, you know, you take the entire graph, you think about it as an edge relation, you partition all of the edges in different shards, and then you do this iterative computation where you transfer weight to all of the downstream neighbors each time. Okay, and if you're clever, you can come up with ways of only propagating updates to node changes. And in fact, you can go even further and say, I'm only going to propagate the amount of the changes, an adjustment, and threshold that as we go. So for instance, we actually have a paper on doing this in the upcoming VLDB conference. And basically, because link analysis generally is something that comes very quickly to convergence, your first few iterations, you're doing a lot of work. And then the further you go, the less and less work there is. So you can execute those future iterations very, very quickly.
But there's high connectivity, right? That doesn't make sense.
I'm sorry?
There's pretty high connectivity.
It depends a bit on. So there's high connectivity, but usually that gets you very quickly to a point where you're getting closer and closer to the final value. Remember, you're doing everything in parallel, effectively, right? So basically, at each iteration, roughly speaking, right, the early iterations do more work and adjust the values by a larger amount. The later iterations, usually what happens is you have some substructure over a piece of the graph that needs further computation. But some portions of the graph already have basically their final weights.
Even when, are you cutting out
propagation? We can do that. That's one of the things that we will do in general. Okay. So we can talk more about that offline. Okay, so let me try to wrap up then. The focus of our work here, and this is really just the first stage, is sort of exploring this question of can we take the structure of data usage and use that to actually identify interesting nodes and use that in turn to do ranking and recommendation. Okay, so what we did was we looked at the common algorithms that people have used, tried to identify what are the common constructs and abstractions. We incorporated those into graph query languages, and now we have the ability to do these sort of random walk algorithms. Okay. There are other algorithms even beyond PageRank, like computing hitting times, which in fact can be built on this. So we think it's a very nice general framework for doing that that gives us at least what we think of as kind of the right level of abstraction. Okay. Now, the really interesting research questions are, you know, can we actually figure out good algorithms, good settings for these things? Most likely, this is going to be somewhat domain specific. Okay. The other big question is, the provenance really represents, in general, something like tuples or files or something like that as the basic unit of data, and an invocation of the computation as a node. So if I take a very long provenance trace, and I want to know, for instance, what score should I give each tool, not each use of the tool, but each tool, how do I take the, let's say, the page rank scores on each of the tool nodes and kind of consolidate them in order to give a final score, right? So there's this question of how to kind of aggregate across all of these scores that you computed using link analysis back to assign an actual value to a database, to a user, to a tool, to a collection, et cetera. Okay? So with that, I'd like to take any questions you might have. Thank you.